Thank you, Anne. You heard my co-workers before, Dr. Jin Hajan and Murilo Maeda, making their presentations. And then we have two additional fellows there, Anjin Chang and Juno Jeon. Those are the people that do the work. These are the postdocs, you know. So, and we talked about it. And my name is Juan Landivar, and I'm the center director for the Corpus Christi and Weslaco centers. At A&M, we are blessed to have this structure, you know, working with engineers. You know, that is a tremendous experience, you know, in helping us with this part of our program. You know, the data collection, the design of these platforms, selections of sensors and so on, and more important, this very important component out here, which is data analysis and visualization. Most of us agronomists, Murilo and I, are part of this team out here, but we depend on these guys for the data. So I'm going to talk about some of the voluminous data that we get out here from our research plots in an attempt to do a growth analysis to see if they have anything to do with yield. Okay, I'm going to use this 2016 cotton experiment where we have 30 genotypes replicated four times, irrigated and not irrigated, and this is the data that we collect with our UAVs, plant height, canopy cover, biomass estimation. And then a couple of greenness indexes, vegetative indexes rather, and then some crop-specific parameters, and all of that is analyzed with growth analysis, and that's what is going to be the main topic of my presentation. I'm going to focus on the non-irrigated. This is a very voluminous data set, you know, 30 genotypes replicated four times. There's 120 plots. And what I did for this study was divided in two, and I'm using about half of the data, approximately 50 of those observations. Doing all of this manually, that's the reason why I had to cut it to what I could handle manually. This is the work of Dr. Jin Hajan, and he does an excellent job providing us the platforms and the sensors needed to conduct these experiments. For this experiment, I think he told us in the workshop that he flew 57 times, 51 times, and the reason for that many number of flights is because he's designing flying protocols and testing equipment and so on, you know. So, but it's good data, you know, it goes into the hub. And so on, and an incredible amount of data for RGB, so many flights, 27, I think, 31. 22 and 12 for thermal of the different components, an incredible amount of half a terabyte of data. So you can see why I limited to half of the genotypes since I was doing this semi-manually. This is some of the data that, you know, the data collection procedure. It's two row plots. You know, you can see here these two rows represent one rep of a variety. And then we divide it into grids of 1 meter. So we get 20 observations for each rep. So 120 times 20 is the number of points that we have for this, but for the field layout. And then the plant height model, you know, Dr. Jinha and Murilo explained very well, you know, how is this collected, you know, surface model minus the elevation model, you know, and then that give us the crop height model for every one of those points. A canopy cover, the same thing. We have our grid. We figure out how much green area we had in there, which unfortunately includes wheat sometimes, you know, and give us a overestimation of canopy cover. But and then whatever is not green is turned out black, and the ratio of green to black is our canopy cover. And that's what, you know, we reported. This is a way of graphically reported, but we also got a numerical output. And then a combination of the two, the size and the height of the crop, give us canopy volume. And I'm going to focus on those parameters mainly. You know, this is just a typical flying patterns. You know, those are the times where Dr. Jinha flew, and every time that we fly, sometimes, you know, with both sensors, sometimes just with one, we put a dot in this curve, okay? By the end of the season, we fit a sigmoidal growth curve, And that's what is the basis for our analysis. Growth analysis, all of you are familiar with it. There are very, very well-known techniques to analyze plant growth. It's tedious to collect by hand, you know, but I did my PhD without Bible. I was using that as a Bible, you know, and so it's very well-known techniques. Hundreds of peer review papers done using this technique, so it's not much magic about what we're doing. You know, we're just using growth rates and many parameters well described in these books. And then we adapted several possibilities, research, logistics, three parameters, four parameters, five parameters. We choose this one because it gives you a non-symmetric first derivative, you know, and that's what the way that crops work. You know, we tested many of them. The three parameters, for example, give you a symmetric one, and of course that's not how crops work. So this is the best one that fits most of our data, and cotton at least. And here are examples of that. You know, this is the logistic four parameters are fitting out here, and then the first derivative of that, you know, give us the rate and a bunch of points, you know, that we extract for our analysis. What are those points? You know, these are the typical points, and then, you know, we get that one of those is the maximum, whatever, plant height, canopy cover, canopy volume. Then we can get the maximum growth rate in this case, and that, in that case it will be per day, percentage, or whatever, meter squared per day. Three, when did it occur? The early relative growth rate and the late relative growth rate, you know, from the half maximum. We can do it from anywhere, but we just choose arbitrarily from the half maximum. When did it happen? And then the duration of those periods, and the total duration of the maintaining a certain rate. And then I'm not going to show you this part of the data, but this is what we also do with the vegetative indexes. We use two of them. We like this one. We call it the greenness index that was developed because it worked very, very well with our senescing crops, particularly tomatoes, you know, that we much better than NDVI. But we have tested 20 of this, 10 RGBs and 10 reflectant base and different uses for each one of them. And then we do the same thing, extract data from there. What is the maximum, when they happen? You know, you get the idea, the slope of up, the slope down, the duration, the area, and so on. And then come out with this list of, for cotton, approximately 70 parameters, you know, that we can extract for every meter square of the field. So you can see why that half a terabyte of data come from, you know, and for the season. What I done with this study is take the two row plots and average of the 20. Okay, so in other words, we have two rows per plot, 10 grids. So what I'm going to show you is the average of 20 points. We could do it by meter square if we had to, but I didn't have enough time for doing that, but the computer can do it. And I'm also going to focus on this vegetative growth. Not going to talk much about this. You know, will this plant height, canopy cover, all of those, how well are they related to yield? Okay? And it's a matrix. There are 50 genotypes out here. I divided in groups of, I rank it here by yield. Those are the top 20, the second top 20. The middle, the average, the bottom 20, and then the very bottom, A, B, C, D, E, more or less, if you want to call it, high yield, low yields. And then these are the 13 parameters for plant height, 13 parameters for canopy cover, plant height, and canopy volume. And you can see all of those numbers out there. Some of those parameters are responsible for yield. Yes, are responsible for yields. You know, so I did the analysis by hand, but at the bottom, or here, shows you the correlation of each one we yield. And then the ones with three stars are very significant, at the 0.01, 0.05, and then the one we want to start at the point 10. So you can see that about 5 or 6 parameters affected for each one, you know, affected the performance of those. Now, the next step is to develop a model, you know, that could go in there, you know, and pick, you know, which ones out of those are the ones that are really affecting yields. And in this case, it happens to be this was a previous study, you know, but it's basically found 6 parameters, 2 of them from my list out there, only 2. 2 from the canopy efficiency parameters and 2 from the specific crop parameters like bulb count and bloom count, with an R square of around 70 something out here. The idea now is, you know, how can we optimize some of this, you know, that this is done by hand, but with some kind of a machine language. Now, and the analysis, you know, of the looking at the top 20% of the, at the top best yielders, you know, the top 20%. What were the characteristics? Or what were the analysis were showing that the top 20% had? Well, it had it liked the early half, liked to have it around day 34. This was a little bit of a surprise because you know, it's a little bit late. First flower bud is a little bit early, around 25, 28. You know, it happens that the plant gets going, the successful plants get going a little bit later, but quit also earlier. You know, we think that the vegetative growth stops after bloom. And these successful plants stop 10 days after bloom. That was a surprise for me. Looks like the plant is getting ready for something. This is on the dry land environment, remember? And then and most of the parameters that were significant, different, for example, the relative growth rate down, related to fruit load, you know. The varieties that had a large relative growth rate, you know, the fruit load was not as high, you know, and you can see it here. These are the low yieldings, you know, high relative growth rate, the high fruiting, you know, that might have to do something with the zinc strength. The duration of this period out here, the late maintaining high growth rate was also very significant. It liked to be around 14. That was another surprise. I thought I was too short, you know. But anyway, that's what this analysis showed, that for this environment, that the successful varieties were doing. The irrigated plot might tell us a completely different story. But we hope that by that time, you know, we'll have our expert system, you know, going through that massive amount of data, you know, through a different type of learning approaches, you know, and give us a simple, more or less binary answer, which one is the best, you know, which ones are the highest yielding and which ones are the lowest yielding. So the breeders, you know, we can provide this information to our breeders, to our researchers, so they can do the work on, you know, on selection. That's where we're going. We're moving very much in this direction. We hope to demonstrate this expert system at our research cotton meetings in Dallas, which is in 2018. To demonstrate the system out here, you know, and how we got 3 years of data to and see if we can pick up those top yielding varieties. So thank you very much, and I hope I didn't exceed the time. Yes, sir.
Can you give more information about
the
meeting in Dallas?
Yes, sir. San Antonio, even better, more fun. It's the Bellwhite Cotton Research Conference organized by the National Cotton Council. If you enter National Cotton Council conferences, you'll find it. And it's a very, very fun meeting for us Texans, you know, where cotton is the king of crops, you know, and San Antonio is a fun city. But we are going to present all of this, this expert system and others. You know, there was a question for Murillo just on the head size of the for the sorghum. This unsupervised procedure here will select the head size and then go on and calculate the yield. But you know, it's all kinds of good things that is going to do.
I'm sorry.
No, it's. Thank you very much.